Imagine, for a moment, electricity flowing through our power lines. Not literally water, of course, but what if AI that deeply understands the movement of fluids could help us manage our entire energy future?
Right.
Think of it like equipping our power grids with an AI crystal ball, you know, not just predicting, but proactively shaping a more stable and greener energy future. So this deep dive is all about Google DeepMind's groundbreaking work. They're using mishush learning to simulate physical processes like fluid dynamics and, crucially, how these same techniques might just transform how transmission system operators, TSOs like EnergyNet, manage our electricity grids. You're about to get a fast track, really, to grasping how these cutting-edge AI advancements could lead to more stable, efficient, and greener power systems for everyone.
We've really dug into a stack of sources for this. We've got the core research papers on DeepMind's graph network-based simulators, GNS, and mesh graph nets.
Okay.
We've also looked at their applications, like,
Yeah.
the big one, weather forecasting with GraphCast,
Right, GraphCast.
and various studies exploring how you translate these ideas directly to power system operations. So our mission here is to pull out the most important nuggets, explain why it matters to you, and honestly uncover some pretty surprising facts along the way.
Okay, let's do it. So let's pull back the curtain on how this magic actually happens. Segment one is really about the AI revolution in physics simulation itself. It's kind of mind-blowing how DeepMind and others figured out how to use machine learning, these neural networks like GNS and mesh graph nets, to simulate really complex physics, like airflow, water flow. What's the core idea there?
But what's fascinating is they don't start from, first principles with complex physics equations necessarily. Instead, they learn by watching. They train on data generated by traditional physics simulators.
Oh, okay.
So they're essentially observing how a system evolves over time in those simulations. And from that massive amount of data, they learn to predict the next state of a system just based on its current state.
So you feed them what just happened?
Exactly. You feed them what happened, maybe the inputs, and they learn to anticipate what will happen next.
Beyond just that core idea, what was it about these simulations that really maybe surprised researchers early on? What was the first big wow factor?
The speed-ups.
Yeah.
Definitely the speed-ups. They're just dramatically faster. These ML simulators are often 100 to get this 10,000 times faster than traditional computational fluid dynamics CFD solvers.
10,000 times. Wow.
Yeah. Imagine trying to model airflow over a car wing. Traditional ways take hours, maybe days. These new AI models, often seconds.
So it's not just a little bit faster, it's
It's the total paradigm shift in how quickly we can model the physical world. Yeah.
the implications of that kind of speed are just huge, aren't they? But okay, the obvious question, can something that fast really be as accurate as those, high-end, super detailed, slow simulations?
That's the crucial question, right? And surprisingly, often yes. These ML simulators have actually matched specialized physics solvers in accuracy in certain tests. Yeah, DeepMind showed, for instance, mesh graph nets, which are particularly good with complex shapes like an airplane wing, or importantly for us, the connections in a power grid. They could design an airfoil where the drag coefficient was right on par with high-end CFD.
Okay, so it's not just a fast guess.
No, it's not just a fast approximation. It can be a highly accurate simulation.
Right, so they're fast, they're accurate, but do they generalize? If you train it on one type of flow, can it handle something completely different or maybe something much bigger?
That's another really powerful aspect and a key strength. They can generalize, often far beyond the data they were trained on.
Okay.
They've been shown handling thousands of time steps into the future or simulating systems with an order of magnitude more particles than they ever saw during training. And that generalization power is absolutely critical for the real world, where conditions are always changing and you just can't train for every single possibility.
Right, you can't anticipate everything. Now, one concept that jumped out in the research was differentiable learned simulators. For those of us trying to, wrap our heads around that, what does that term actually unlock? Why is it such a breakthrough?
It's a pretty fundamental shift. Differentiable learned simulators. Okay. Basically, because the simulator is a neural network, you can use calculus, specifically backpropagation, the same math used to train the network in the first place.
Okay.
You can use that math to figure out how changing the design of something affects the physical outcome. This lets you do inverse design.
Inverse design. Okay,
Yeah.
so instead of just testing designs.
Exactly. Instead of trying out hundreds of designs and simulating each one, which takes forever, You tell the AI the outcome you want, like, I want minimum drag on this shape, and it can actually suggest the design changes needed to get there.
Ah, I see.
So for optimizing things like fluid channels or airfoils, these methods beat the old trial and error approaches, sometimes by like 37% improvement in the outcome they were aiming for.
So it's shifting from kind of reactive guesswork to a much more proactive design process, all powered by the AI's learned at physics.
Precisely. And what's also really exciting is that this isn't just about totally replacing the old methods. We're seeing powerful hybrid approaches too.
How do those work?
Well, you embed the machine learning inside the traditional CFD systems, maybe to speed up certain parts or to learn smarter ways to handle the calculations. This can give you, say, 2 to 4 orders of magnitude speed up on coarser simulation grids, or it might learn better discretization schemes for the underlying equations, basically finding smarter ways to compute the physics faster.
Okay. Now, for a real-world proof point of this fluid dynamics AI really strutting its stuff, let's talk GraphCast. This is DeepMind's system for global weather forecasting. What makes it so revolutionary? How does it show these GNN principles working on a massive scale?
GraphCast is, a prime example of these graph neural networks, GNNs, applied to large-scale fluid dynamics. The fluid, in this case, is the entire Earth's atmosphere. And it achieves just unprecedented accuracy in 10-day forecasts.
Yeah.
It's often outperforming the European Center's gold standard model, the ECMWF HRES, which is, a huge deal in meteorology.
And the speed you mentioned earlier must play a big role here, too.
Oh, absolutely. It produces a full 10-day global forecast in under 60 seconds.
60 seconds. For the whole globe.
On a single machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Compare that to the hours it takes traditional supercomputers running numerical models.
Wow.
I mean, you can get updated forecasts way more often, near real time, almost.
And it's not just like getting the temperature right. It actually helps predict extreme high impact events.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
GraphCast is proving really good at forecasting cyclone tracks further out. It can pinpoint atmospheric rivers, those things that cause major floods.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good at flagging upcoming heat waves much earlier. This means earlier warnings for critical events, which, saves lives, and helps people prepare.
And the fact that the European Center, ECMWF, is already experimenting with it, that says a lot about readiness, right?
It really does. It shows there's high confidence and a high technology readiness level for these kinds of ML models, at least in forecasting.
Okay, so we've covered AI learning to simulate fluids, air, water. Then we see it conquering global weather. Now, the big question, what does this all mean for you listening and our power grid? Because, electricity isn't a fluid, right? How do we bridge that gap?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's all about the analogy. Electricity obviously isn't water in a pipe, but the network dynamics of the grid share some really striking similarities with fluid flow problems.
Okay, how so?
The grid behaves according to physical laws, right? Kirchhoff's laws, Ohm's law, and network constraints. Many of the challenges, like optimizing how power flows through the network or understanding how a disturbance somewhere else might spread, mathematically, these look quite similar to fluid flow problems. They're often governed by similar types of differential equations and complex interconnections.
So the math has similarities.
Exactly. And by treating the grid data, the voltages, the currents, the connections, as a spatiotemporal graph, basically picturing the grid as this complex network of points and links changing over time. These same ML models, the GNNs, could learn to predict how the grid will behave or figure out the best control actions, potentially much, much faster than we can today.
That analogy really helps. Okay, let's get concrete then. What does this mean for our transmission system operators, the TSOs? Let's start with application one, revolutionizing maybe the heart of grid management, optimizing power flows and real-time control. What's the problem with the traditional way?
Well, power flow in a grid, just like fluid in pipes, follows physical laws.
Mm-hmm.
But calculating it precisely what's called a full AC power flow calculation is incredibly complex and, frankly, slow for large interconnected grids, especially when operators need answers now or need to check lots of what-if scenarios really fast.
So the traditional way is just too sluggish for modern needs sometimes?
Often, yes. Mm-hmm. For real-time decisions or exploring many possibilities, it can be a bottleneck.
And how do the GNNs, the graph neural networks, offer a solution here similar to how they learned fluid dynamics?
Exactly the same principle. GNN-based power flow models can essentially emulate a full AC power flow solver. They don't solve the complex equations directly from scratch each time. Instead, they learn the mapping from the grid's current state, its inputs, to the resulting power flows on all the lines.
What?
And because they're just doing this learned pattern matching, they can run in milliseconds. milliseconds.
Yeah.
And provide estimates that are often much more accurate than the simplified calculation methods operators sometimes have to rely on now. It's like having an incredibly fast, high-fidelity AC solver on tap.
Milliseconds. What are the immediate short-term benefits TSOs could see from that kind of speed and accuracy?
Okay, a huge one is rapid contingency analysis.
Contingency analysis.
Yeah, figure out what happens if. What if this major transmission line suddenly trips? What if that large power plant goes offline? An operator could evaluate thousands of these potential scenarios in the time a traditional solver runs just a handful.
So they can test things much faster and see potential problems coming.
Exactly. It massively boosts situational awareness.
Yeah.
Lets them plan proactively. Another big one is accelerating optimal power flow, or OPF.
Okay, what's that?
OPF is about finding the most efficient and secure way to dispatch power generation across the grid to meet demand, avoiding congestion. It's a complex optimization problem. ML can help by giving the traditional OPF solvers a really good starting point, a warm start, or even predicting a near-optimal solution directly.
Which means
the grid can be re-optimized much more frequently, maybe every few minutes instead of every hour or longer, leading to, you know, real savings by reducing energy losses and managing congestion better.
And what about adaptive control, where the AI isn't just advising, but maybe suggesting or even making real-time adjustments?
Well, this speed definitely paves the way for more advanced, potentially even closed-loop AI control down the line. The ML models can quickly test the likely outcome of different control actions virtually before they're implemented.
Right, like optimizing cooling in data centers. I remember DeepMind did that.
Exactly. They got, 30% energy savings at Google's data centers by letting AI optimize the cooling systems. Now, a power grid is vastly more critical and complex, obviously.
Sure, much higher stakes.
Much higher stakes. But similar principles could apply. An AI trained on a highly realistic simulation of the grid, a digital twin could potentially suggest, or even make dynamic adjustments to regulate flows or respond to issues much faster.
And the long-term vision here, it sounds like it could go beyond just suggestions.
The really long-term vision, yeah, is potentially fully automated grid control systems, leading towards what some people call self-healing grids. Grids that can react almost instantly to disturbances, automatically rerouting power if a line trips, for example, all based on their internal neural simulator, running thousands of times faster than human reaction times, preventing cascading failures before they start.
That is quite a leap. Okay, let's shift gears. Application 2, integrating renewables and the green energy transition. Renewables are fantastic, obviously, but they come with that challenge. They're variable, less predictable than traditional power plants. How does this fluid dynamics-inspired AI help tackle that?
Yeah, the challenge with wind and solar is directly linked to their variability, their dependence on weather. And this is precisely where tools like GraphCast, the weather forecasting AI, come directly into play.
Ah, okay. Because weather is fluid dynamics.
Exactly. It's fundamentally a fluid dynamics problem.
Yeah.
So by providing more accurate and faster weather forecasts, these AI models directly improve our ability to predict renewable energy output. Better wind speed forecasts mean better wind power estimates. Better cloud cover forecasts mean better solar power estimates.
Can you give us a concrete example? I think you mentioned DeepMind used this with Google's own wind farms.
Yes, absolutely. They demonstrated this internally. They used a neural network to predict wind power 36 hours ahead for Google's wind farms. And doing that led to about a 20% boost in the economic value of that wind energy.
20%? How?
By allowing them to make much better commitments to the power grid about how much energy they deliver. For a TSO, this translates to relying on renewables with more confidence, reducing the need for expensive backup fossil fuel power plants, and ultimately getting more green energy onto the grid reliably.
So better forecasting helps with planning and scheduling generation. What about the minute-to-minute balancing act when the wind suddenly drops or the sun goes behind a cloud?
Right. That's where these ML-augmented digital twins of the grid, potentially coupled directly with the weather models, could be powerful. They could ingest live weather data, live grid data, and simulate the near-future impacts incredibly fast.
So they could see a dip coming.
Yeah, and inform real-time adjustments. Like, okay, simulation shows wind dropping in Sector B in 5 minutes. Let's dispatch battery storage now to compensate. It helps ensure grid stability, even when you have a really high percentage of variable renewables online.
And thinking longer term, for planning the grid itself, deciding where to build new wind farms or transmission lines for a greener future.
Yes, absolutely. ML can help design grids that are optimized for high renewable penetration. It's analogous to that fluid inverse design we talked about earlier.
Oh, right.
The ML simulators can rapidly explore thousands of possibilities for placing new assets, wind farms, solar plants, batteries, lines, simulating how each configuration would perform under various weather scenarios. It helps find the optimal grid architecture much faster and more comprehensively and just using traditional load flow studies over and over.
Okay, that makes sense. Moving on to application 3, enhanced weather and climate modeling for grid operations. We've touched on weather forecasts helping renewables, but how does better weather and climate modeling benefit the grid more broadly, beyond just generation?
Oh, weather impacts almost everything on the grid.
Huh?
Demand for electricity swings wildly with temperature heating in winter, air conditioning in summer.
Sure.
Renewable generation, obviously, depends on sun and wind.
Mm-hmm.
But even the physical capacity of transmission lines is affected by the ambient air. Temperature. Hotter air means lines can carry less power safely.
Right. Didn't think of that last one.
Yeah. So GraphCast's faster, more accurate 0 to 14-day forecasts mean better input for all kinds of operational planning. Load forecasting, for instance, becomes much more accurate if you have better temperature predictions hour by hour.
And the speed we talked about, under 60 seconds for a forecast, that must make a tangible difference, too.
A huge difference. It means forecasts can potentially be updated much more frequently, maybe even hourly, instead of just a few times a day. TSOs can always base their operational decisions on the absolute latest information. That improves reliability, it improves efficiency, and, crucially, its ability to give earlier warnings for extreme weather, heat waves, ice storms, hurricanes, allows for proactive grid resilience measures. Getting crews in place, managing demand, preparing for potential outages.
So, better preparation for peak loads or potential storm damage. What about looking further out? Long-term climate modeling and planning for the grid decades from now.
Similar ML approaches can be applied there too. For seasonal forecasts, like predicting if a summer will be unusually hot and dry, impacting hydropower, or even longer-term climate projections. This helps with resource adequacy planning, ensuring there's enough generation capacity years in advance, and critically, it helps with climate change impact studies, designing future grids that are robust against shifting weather patterns and more frequent extreme events we expect to see.
Building a future-proof grid, essentially. Okay, finally, let's look at application 4. Fault detection, system protection, and the idea of digital twins. What's the core concept here, and how do these GNNs fit in?
The main goal here is faster, more accurate detection and diagnosis of problems, faults on the grid. And the key enabling technology is often talked about as a digital twin.
Right, the virtual replica.
Exactly, a real-time virtual replica of the physical grid.
Hmm.
Machine learning, especially these graph neural networks, are really well-suited to powering these digital twins. They can be continuously fed the real-time sensor data coming off the grid, voltages, currents, switch statuses, what's often called telemetry in the industry,
okay,
and use that data to constantly predict the grid's future state, maybe just seconds or minutes ahead.
So it's like having an always-on monitoring system running in parallel, almost like a second brain checking the real grid.
That's a great way to put it, yeah. An ML model running as part of a digital twin can serve as analytical redundancy. It's constantly comparing, here's what I predict should be happening based on the physics I've learned, versus here's what the sensors are actually reading.
And if they don't match?
If there's a significant discrepancy, that flags an anomaly. It could be a sensor error, or it could be the early sign of an equipment failure, a fault developing. Imagine the model predicting, based on the current flows, line 5 looks like it's overheating and might fail in the next minute. That allows for proactive action to prevent an outage instead of just reacting after the line trips.
That's incredibly powerful for prevention. And what about when things do go wrong in an emergency when every second counts? How would a digital twin help then?
In an emergency, that speed is critical. A fast digital twin could rapidly evaluate potential corrective actions. Things like, if we reroute power this way, will it overload another line? Or what's the impact of shedding load in this specific area? It can run these what-ifs virtually in milliseconds before operators commit to an action on the real grid.
Guiding the response.
Exactly. Guiding self-healing actions, potentially, allowing the grid to stabilize or recover much faster than human operators could manage alone, especially during complex cascading failures.
And I guess these super-fast simulators could also be used offline for training operators or planning.
Absolutely. That's a huge benefit, too. High-fidelity learned simulators can act as an incredibly realistic sandbox. You can use them offline to train grid operators on how to handle countless random failure scenarios, things they might never see in their entire career but need to be prepared for, And you can use them to stress test the grid's resilience, identify weak points, and design better protection schemes before deploying them in the real world.
Okay, fascinating potential across the board. So let's bring it all together. What does this really mean for you listening and the future of energy? Let's talk about the road ahead in segment three. The benefits, sure, but also the limitations and the actual technology readiness. What are the short-term benefits we can realistically expect to see happening now or, you know, very soon?
Okay, near-term, improved forecasting is definitely happening now. As we said, AI models like GraphCast are already being tested and used by major forecasting centers.
Mm.
And Google demonstrably boosted their wind energy value by 20% using AI predictions. That's real.
Right.
We'll also see, I think fairly soon, faster analytical tools becoming available to grid operators. These ML surrogates for power flow calculations acting as fast advisors, helping them run contingency analyses or grid studies much quicker than before.
Okay.
And probably data-driven anomaly detection systems running in parallel with existing alarms, acting as highly sensitive early warning systems to catch subtle problems before they escalate.
And the readiness level for those. You mentioned TRL's technology readiness levels. Where do these sit?
Right. Forecasting models like GraphCast are pretty high TRL 7 to 9. That means they're basically demonstrated in an operational environment or already operational. Broader adoption seems likely in the next, say, 1 to 2 years.
Okay.
The power flow simulators and anomaly detection using GNNs are more like TRL 4 to 5 right now.
Right.
They've been validated in the lab, maybe some small pilot projects. They still need more rigorous testing, integration work, building operator trust.
Yeah.
So widespread use is probably more like 5+ years away, with trials maybe in 2-3 years.
Okay, that's the near term. What about the really big picture, the long-term vision, the stuff that sounds almost like science fiction?
Yeah, the long-term vision is where it gets truly transformative. We're talking about potentially autonomous grid operations.
Fully autonomous.
Well, maybe AI agents handling routine control tasks and even responding to emergencies faster and more effectively than humans potentially could, leading to that idea of a self-stabilizing or self-healing grid. This would also enable maximizing renewable energy use. Imagine grids running comfortably, reliably, with 90% or even higher levels of variable generation, like wind and solar, because the AI can orchestrate all the resources, generation, storage, demand response, so precisely and quickly.
So it's not just adding more renewables, but actually using them much more effectively when they're available.
Exactly. That could also lead to reduced costs and maybe even deferring the need for some expensive infrastructure upgrades. If the AI can run the existing network closer to its physical limits, but safely, optimizing power flows, minimizing losses, using dynamic line ratings, that saves money.
Right.
And ultimately, enhanced resiliency. Grids that don't just withstand problems, but actively adapt, constantly learning and improving their responses, restoring power faster after blackouts through this kind of adaptive intelligence.
Those long-term benefits sound incredible, truly game-changing. What's the readiness level there? Still TRL-9, but further out.
Oh, yeah. These are definitely aspirational future TRL-9 concepts for the most part. Achieving fully autonomous grids or 90% plus renewable grids safely. That requires not just leaps in the AI itself, but huge advances in sensors, communications, massive data integration, regulatory changes, building trust. It's a long road.
So let's talk about those hurdles. What are the key limitations and the big considerations we really need to keep front of mind? Because this isn't magic, right? There are real world challenges.
Absolutely. A major one is always accuracy and generalization, especially for critical infrastructure. ML models are brilliant within the scope of their training data, but truly novel, unexpected conditions on the grid, maybe a type of fault they've never seen data for, or an extreme weather event beyond anything historical. How do they react? An error could be catastrophic.
That's a huge concern.
It is. Then there are the data requirements. Training these models needs enormous amounts of high-quality, diverse data covering all sorts of grid conditions. For rare events like major blackouts, we might need to rely heavily on simulated data to supplement real-world telemetry, and ensuring those simulations are accurate enough is key.
Okay.
Computational resources are another factor. Training these complex GNNs takes serious compute power days or weeks on specialized hardware like TPUs or GPUs. Once trained, running them, the inference is fast, but the training is intensive.
And just plugging these AI tools into the existing control rooms, that sounds like a massive challenge itself, beyond just the tech.
It's a huge challenge. Integration and interoperability are critical. These new ML tools have to fit seamlessly or at least work alongside the existing, highly reliable, often decades-old energy management systems, the EMS and SCADA systems.
Right.
And crucially, the human factor. Grid operators need to trust the AI's outputs. They need to understand, at some level, why the AI is making a certain prediction or recommendation. That black box problem needs addressing.
Operators need to trust it, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe through techniques like physics-informed neural networks that have some physical laws built in, or using explainable AI methods. And then there are the big ones. Regulatory approval, proving safety to a very high degree, figuring out liability if something goes wrong, and of course, cybersecurity. An AI-influenced grid presents new potential attack surfaces that need to be secured.
Lots to consider there. So if we had to sum up the current readiness across these different applications in a nutshell.
Okay, nutshell version. Weather and renewable forecasting using AI. High readiness. Already in pilot use, broader adoption likely in the next 1-2 years.
Okay.
Using GNNs for power flow simulation and as operational advisory tools. Medium readiness. We'll probably see trial deployments in the next 2-3 years, maybe widespread use in 5+ years, depending on testing and integration.
Right.
Digital twins for grid monitoring and fault detection.
Right.
Low to medium readiness. Still mostly in R&D, maybe limited to applications in specific settings in a few years. And the full-scale use across the whole TSO operation is likely a decade or more away.
And the fully AI-driven control.
That's low readiness. That's the most futuristic piece. We'll see isolated applications first, maybe optimizing specific subsystems. But fully autonomous TSO operations, that's likely beyond a 10-year horizon, maybe significantly beyond.
Okay. Well, this deep dive has certainly shown how DeepMind's breakthroughs, starting with simulating fluids and physics and leading to things like record-breaking weather prediction, are genuinely paving a new path for how we might manage our incredibly complex electric grids.
Yeah, and I think for the transmission system operators, the TSOs, the path forward is pretty clear strategically. It's about embracing these innovations, but in stages. You start with the high reward, lower risk applications, better forecasting, using these simulators for offline studies and planning.
Build confidence first.
Exactly. Rigorously test the models, validate them against real world events, build that operator trust, and then gradually expand their role as the technology matures and the regulatory frameworks catch up.
So here's a final provocative thought for you, our listener, to chew on. Imagine a future where the electricity grid doesn't just react passively to changes in supply and demand. Imagine it proactively anticipates and optimizes every flow of power, every fluctuation in demand, every source of generation, all orchestrated by an AI brain that's continuously simulating its own future states. What new possibilities for energy independence, for cost savings, for climate resilience? What would that unlock for all of us?